Song, isn't it? A great song. I appreciate it. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. Page 1274. In your Revised Standard Version, I mean your King James Bible. Old Schofield. Yes, sir. I never will forget to listen down to, I think, the Churchill station. This country preacher got on the radio and said, folks, take your, I said, what? He said, I forgot what he said now. He said something. He said, take your, well, he did, yeah. I went blank. I knew what he said before I got up here. But something about take your old 1611, let's go down Route 66 a while, something like that. But I believe that's what he said, I'm not sure. But anyway, let's go down Route 66 here for a little while. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. In other words, so charge them that they teach the right doctrine. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. That's just a bunch of hot air. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. And we'll stop right there tonight. Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into His Word tonight. Father, we thank You for this opportunity of coming back tonight to Thy house of God to sing these songs and to praise the Lord and worship Jesus and get something from His Word. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us now as we look at the Word of God together, the eternal Word, the Word that was forever settled in heaven, the book that was breathed upon holy men of old by the Holy Ghost. We believe it. We don't understand it all, but we believe every line, every jot, every tittle of it. And feed our souls from Your Word. And help us tonight to be better Christians for having come to the house of God, meet needs, save the lost, and get glory to Yourself. Thank You for the good day You've given us today. And just bless our church. Continue to touch us and help us and bless us. And keep us true to Thee till You come for us in the air. Now again, anoint Thy word. Anoint Thy servant. These Thy people tonight. And we'll thank You in Jesus. And Lord, defeat the devil and hindering spirits. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've previously said about verses 1 and 2, this is the salutation Paul gave to Timothy. Paul, the spiritual mentor of this young pastor Timothy. At verse 1, Paul identifies himself as the writer of this epistle, which is one of the three letters called the pastoral epistles. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are called pastoral epistles because they're written to two young, struggling pastors. And in verse 2, the recipient of this letter is identified. It is Timothy or Timotheus, a convert of Paul, who is now pastoring in Ephesus and having a rough time there. And as I've already said, the twofold theme of Timothy, 1 Timothy, is sound doctrine and proper church order. Paul deals with the creed of the church before he addresses the conduct of the church in the church. Your creed must be right before your conduct can be right. Your doctrine will eventually affect behavior. Bad doctrine, liberal doctrine, will cause you to have a behavior that's liberal-oriented every time. And so you cannot think wrong and act right. It's sort of like a woman. When she puts out her hand out of the window at the intersection, it doesn't mean anything. It might mean her window's open. It might mean she's drying her fingernail polish off. She'll turn, signal left and go right, or signal right and go left. By the way, you men do the same thing. We just like to pick on women drivers, though. But it is sad to see a person try to act right and think wrong, because wrong thinking is eventually going to lead to wrong action. You're a product of how you think. And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Just watch your heart. Watch your heart. Keep your heart right, because eventually you're going to act out what's in your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." That's why you need to be careful about what you take in through that eye gate and what you listen to, because what goes in your eye and in your ear is going to affect your heart, and it'll produce a final product of what you hear, of your intake. What you take into your heart and mind and soul will produce, the finished product is going to be the person who is shaped by what he thinks and hears and sees. And Paul now writes Timothy concerning doctrine or creed in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2 we'll see later on that he moves over to the area of conduct or proper order in the church. But here tonight, I want us to look at verses 3 through 7 and see the charge in verses 3 and 4 and the commandment in verses 5, 6, and 7. First of all, the charge in verses 3 and 4. First of all, this charge was made to a discouraged disciple. Paul says, "I besought thee," to Timothy, "to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia." Paul, no doubt, left for another mission tour over in Macedonia, and he encouraged Timothy. "Timothy, don't give up. Timothy, you stay by the stuff now. Don't get tired of fighting the Lord's battles." He was just weary in fighting the Lord's battles and fighting up against these apostates who were coming in and teaching false doctrine. And Timothy was about to throw in the towel, and Paul heard about it, wrote him back, said, "Timothy, don't quit. Stay where you are. Stay with the stuff." You know, the worst thing a servant of the Lord can do is get discouraged and get down in the dumps and decide what's the use and just throw up his hands and say, "I quit," and stick his tail between his legs like a whipped dog and just slink off. That's the worst thing you can do, is quit. Don't be a quitter, folks. Don't be a quitter. I mean, people who quit always quit before God blesses. So don't quit. Don't quit. Don't ever quit this church. Don't ever quit the choir. Don't ever quit the bus route. Don't ever quit your Sunday school class or other things God has you in until God says quit. Now, we want to do what God says do. But most of the time people quit, God's not in it. Brother Ron Smith and I were visiting, it was Tuesday night, wasn't it, Ron? And we visited two ex-bus captains who were ex-bus captains years ago. Worst mistake they ever made is quit. Worst mistake they ever made. They both got out of God's will and quit. And if not, God hasn't been blessing or using them since. And I've observed that most of the time, people quit a job here at the church, they get out of God's will. Because, folks, God's not going to lead you from something to nothing for Him. I just don't believe that. And don't quit when the going gets rough. You know what you'll do when the going gets rough? Say, "Lord, with your help, I am going to stay here until you give me victory." Times to quit is, brother, when things are going great, not when things are down. And people want to quit when things are going down, see. And don't quit when the pressure's on. when the going gets rough, the rough get going. So don't quit. As Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap it we shall reap if we faint not. So don't quit. Don't give up. And if you'll stay with the stuff, regardless, somewhere out there, God's going to start blessing you. Now, Paul's saying here in verse 3, Timothy, don't quit. You're needed to fight the Lord's battles. You're needed to do the work of God here in Ephesus. Then the second thing about this charge, it concerned the doctrinal deviance. Notice, he said, I want you to stay in Ephesus in the middle part of verse 3, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than God to edifying, which is in faith. He said, so do. Stay and give them this charge. And so Paul wanted Timothy to stay in Ephesus and charge the false teachers to quit teaching their false doctrine in the church there in Ephesus. Now, I'm told that word charge in verse 3 is a military command. It means give them strict orders that has come from a superior officer. So don't quit, and you charge them that to quit teaching false doctrine. Now, to whom were the orders given? Now, Paul just identifies them. Just notice in verse 3, in the latter part of verse 3, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He didn't identify who these people were. Paul was wise there. He didn't want to exalt them. He didn't want to give them free publicity. You know, I just got to think, if our liberal media would quit exalting all of these terrorists over in the Middle East, if we'd just give them the silent treatment and never give them the front page and never put them on the evening news specials, they want that publicity. They want that exposure. If we'd ignore them, they wouldn't be one hundredth as effective. See, they want that political effectiveness that comes by creating a terrorist act and getting on the newspapers and TV and radio around the world. And so Paul did not give them exposure. He just said some in this apostle. And throughout this epistle, he uses some concerning those who deviate from sound doctrine. Look down at verse 6. From which some, having swerved, having turned aside, unto vain jangling. Look at verse 19. Holding faith and good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And folks, they're departing from the faith everywhere across America tonight. Not only just doctrinally, but spiritually. People are getting cold. And Floyd Andrews today, when was it going headed toward lunch? He said, there's one great evangelist, great Bible teacher, said, I'm going to get off the road. He said, our churches across America that I go in, he said, they're so dead and cold. He said, our churches are in terrible shape today. And people have departed from the faith today. And this has been so for 2,000 years. Look at chapter 5, verse 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So Paul used the word some throughout this epistle for these birds who teach false doctrine. Now, what was the charge back in chapter 1, verse 3? What was the charge or order Paul was to give these false teachers? Notice it was a twofold charge. First of all, notice the positive charge in verse 3. It was the charge that he was supposed to give them was they're to teach no other doctrine. No other doctrine. They were to teach the apostolic doctrine. They were to teach sound doctrine. And this charge was given 1900 plus years ago, and it's just as up to date tonight as it was 1900 plus years ago. The number one need in our churches in America is for Sunday school teachers to stand up in the Sunday school class and feed the people sound doctrine. And then the need is for our preachers to stand up in our churches across America and preach sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And people need to hear the truth as revealed in the pages of God's eternal Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Then verse 4, this charge was not only positive, as we see in verse 3, that to teach no other doctrine, but then it was a negative charge. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. He said, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Have nothing to do with false doctrine. Now, Paul didn't label exactly what this heresy was that they were teaching. He said, but they're fables. In other words, they're myths. They're not true what they're saying. And he said, he called them just endless genealogies. They were coming in there and going, carrying on with one genealogy after another, and trying to fit Christ somewhere into their scheme all along the line. I mean, it was just endless genealogies. And here in verse 4, Paul tells us what's wrong with false doctrine in the latter part of verse 4. First, he said, this false doctrine, these fables, these endless genealogies, they minister questions. They raise questions but don't have any answers. You know, that's exactly what most false teachers do. They raise questions. Old Armstrong, bless his heart, he hadn't answered a question in his life. Do you know that? He's never answered. He's posed a lot of questions at bird and has never given an answer. Now, he'll say, you say you're saved? What does it mean, saved? What is salvation? And get people to wondering. And then he feeds them his palaver that doesn't have the answers. It's just a lot of questions. And then, second here, he said, that false doctrine does, it's not only they raise questions, but they do not edify. They cause people of confusion, and also it cannot, false doctrine cannot edify, which means cannot build people up in the faith. Now I make this charge as God's preacher tonight. First of all, the positive charge is this: teach nothing around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church but fundamental, premillennial, pre-tribulation, independent Baptist doctrine that's clearly based on the Word of God. Now, that's my charge to you around this church tonight. Let's stay with the book here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And if Baptist doctrine lines up with the book, brother, we'll preach it. And when it doesn't line up with the book, we won't preach it around here. Now, I believe the old-time fundamental Baptist doctrine is right down the line with the Word of God. Now, a lot of Baptist practices are not always biblical. And I don't mind traditional practices as long as those traditional practices do not violate God's Word. So let's teach sound doctrine around Buffalo Ridge. Then the negative charge is this, and I give to you here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This is a negative charge I issue to you tonight. Don't listen to false doctrine. Don't listen to it. Turn that radio off. Turn that television set. I've told you years ago to turn Jimmy Swaggart off, didn't I? Didn't I tell you that? I told you to turn that sweet thing, Jimmy Baker, off years ago, and you wouldn't listen to me. You kept looking at him. You just wanted to see Tammy. That's what you wanted to do. Paul told Timothy here in verse 4, if you listen to it, they just minister confusion, minister questions, it won't edify you. And then also, I charge you, if they come to your door, don't let them in. Don't let them in. You'll be worse off when they leave. You'll say, I want to go in and just talk to them. Yeah, if you have three or four little pet ideas that'll turn you every way but loose. You ought to give them a gospel tract, tell them that they need to get born again and ready to meet God and say bye-bye. Put the monkey on their back. And also, let me say this. Don't read books published by cults, by liberals, by new evangelicals, or even these compromisers you're listening to on the radio. Don't listen to them. Don't read their books. You'll get messed up if you do. Oh, I just like to hear what they're saying. Yeah, and they get you in a spiritual fog that you'll never get out of. Brother, I'm not going to buy these liberal books. I'm not going to buy these compromising books, new evangelical books. I want to buy only fundamental books. I don't want to spend my time reading junk. I have so little time, and I'm not going to read junk. And you don't need to know what false teachers and compromisers are saying. You know, folks, you don't need to know that. You had a lot of these books, it's on the bookshelf in most of these Christian bookstores. You don't need that junk. You don't need it. You need sound doctrine. You need sound doctrine. Folks, all you need to know is what God's saying. I understand that when they teach in the FBI school, I was told this, that the way they teach them how to spot counterfeit is to study what constitutes real currency. And then when they know that, then they can spot counterfeit. And folks, if you just study God's Word and get your mind full of God's Word, the Holy Ghost will give you discernment. And brother, you can smell out apostasy when it gets around you. Just get full of the Word, and you don't have to worry about false doctrine. You'll know it when you see it. You'll know something's wrong somewhere. There's an Afro-American in the lumber pile somewhere. Somewhere. Now, I better move on. That wasn't in my notes to say that now, folks. Race that off the tape up there, Brother Mike. Okay, let's move quickly now. I've persecuted you there long, and I better flee to verse 5 through 7, and where we find the commandment. Notice the word in verse 5, the commandment. Now the end of the commandment. Now, scholars have a difference of opinion on what Paul meant when he used the word commandment here in verse 5. Some say he meant the law, others say he meant the Ten Commandments. Some say he meant the Word of God. And most people, and I'm inclined to go along with this, believe that the commandment here refers back to the charge of verse 3 to give these, that Paul or Timothy was to give these to these false teachers. And I believe it does refer back to this charge. The commandment that he gave was that charge back there. I personally believe that. But whatever interpretation you want to give that, good men differ on that. But it's okay. I want to just look at two things about this commandment. First of all, we see the design of the commandment in verse 5. Now, the end of the faith, or the design, or the intention, or the purpose of the commandment, is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So, sound doctrine. I believe the charge that Paul gave Timothy to give to these jaybirds, they were preaching false doctrine. I believe the charge was given for them to teach sound doctrine. And that sound doctrine, that commandment he gave, would produce four things in their lives. Here's what sound doctrine produces. And the new birth will produce these too, by the way. First of all, it'll produce charity, which is love. God is love. And when we get born into the family of God, folks, we're going to be like our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Papa, do you know that? He is love, and when we get born again, it'll, as the old Negro spiritual says, give me that old-time religion, makes me love everybody. And your heart will be filled with love when you're born again. And Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. John, 1 John 3:14 says, we know we've passed from death and life. How? Oh, I go to Sunday school every Sunday at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Or I give in the offering plate. And you're mean as a devil at home on the job. You hypocrite. If the love of God's been, if you have been saved, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And we ought to evidence it by loving the brethren. We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I'll give you a lot of reasons why I know we're saved this morning. But you know, the devil fought me on that. The devil didn't want me to preach on that this morning. The devil tried to say, well, you're just bragging on yourself. Yeah. And I had to really pray about that. I said, Lord, I want to just glorify you. I want to give you help me glorify you through that. But another way I know that I'm saved, I like to be around God's children. I love God's people. And so love sound doctrine will produce love. And sound doctrine, second, will produce a pure heart. As we said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And the heart is the very center of our being. The heart is where we do business with God and where we fellowship with God. And David cried out in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Hey, folks, most of us here tonight, probably all of us, ought to pray too. God, create within me a clean heart. God, I have a heart that's not really pure as it ought to be. Lord, create within me a clean heart and a pure heart. We all ought to pray that tonight. Old Dr. John R. Rice I miss Dr. Rice, and I'd like to go hear him preach again. Used to stand up and he couldn't sing much better than I can sing. Don't you say amen, anybody. But he used to stand and look up with his eyes toward heaven and tears chasing down his cheeks. And he would sing, oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, precious Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Old Dr. Rice, he'd touch me when he'd sing that song. And we need to sing that song unto the Lord, oh, to be like thee. Then the third thing sound doctrine will do, the end of the commandment, the aim of the charge for them to give nothing, teach nothing but sound doctrine. Sound doctrine will produce a good conscience. That the conscience is, I heard a man one time preach on the greatest evangelist in the world is conscience. Conscience will preach to you when you're by yourself, when you're away from people, when nobody else can get to you, your conscience can preach to you. And it's that apparatus, a self-judging apparatus that God puts within us all. When the conscience, when my conscience says all is well, then I have peace and joy and freedom from guilt. Now, I realize you can't always go by your conscience because sometimes you can let your conscience get seared with a hot iron. But I believe one of the greatest things in the world is to have a good or a clear conscience. And there's nothing like being right with God and being right with your fellow man. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 24:16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God. First, toward God. Get your conscience, get a clear conscience toward God, Paul said, and then toward man. Now, here's how you can have a good conscience. Listen to me now. Here's how you can have a good conscience. First of all, get saved and get right with God. And then be honest and fair in your dealings with your fellow man. Honest and fair in your dealings with your fellow man. You know, the older I get, the more I am convinced that honesty is one of the greatest qualities anyone can possess. Now, excuse me, folks. I can't help it. I despise a liar. Would you forgive me for that? That's just one of my many faults. I despise a liar. I despise a liar. I wouldn't give a liar air in the jug. I think, listen, the devil is the father of lies, and you never are more like the devil than when you tell a lie. And always tell the truth, because you're never more like Jesus than when you're just telling the truth. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He's truth. The devil's lying personified. And Jesus is truth personified. So always tell the truth. You'll come out ahead. So young people, tell the truth. If it hurts you, you'll be better off if you will tell the truth. But if you start lying, nobody having confidence in you. Nobody having respect. Just tell the truth. It's better to tell the truth than suffer the punishment. You'll come out far better along the line. People respect you more. And a liar can't have a good conscience, because he's going to always wonder, boy, reckon they'll find me out. And then you'll trip yourself up. A liar will tell one lie to cover up another lie, And first of all, you're going to be in a web when you lie. So just lay it out there and tell the truth. You'll be better off. My daddy would fight you for he'd lie to. And he was a coal miner with only a seventh grade education, but people respected my daddy because they could trust him. Young people, if you lie in school, and if you get the reputation for a liar, you're going to strike out in life. Nobody will want to promote you. You'll not be a person of integrity. Tell the truth. If a hole opens up and swallows you, tell the truth. Well, I better move on. I like to spend a lot of time right there. Just go through the Bible on truth, telling the truth. But a fourth thing that sound doctrine will do is it will produce faith unfeigned. That is, it'll produce faith. Sound doctrine will produce the real thing. It won't produce that which is hypocritical. A person saved and grounded in the faith is not a put-on. They're not a sham. There's no pretense to sound doctrine. And verse 5 sums up all of this this way. Let me sum up. When we have real faith or unfeigned faith in Christ, it will give us a clear conscience and produce love that proceeds out of a holy heart. A person who is genuinely saved and has real faith in Christ, you know what? We don't have to act pious. I don't have to go around acting spiritual. I don't have to prove to you anything. I just have to live for Jesus and praise Him. See, that's you don't have to act out. Don't act spiritual. Just try to please the Lord. See, you don't have to put on a sham. I don't want you going around. I mean, hogwash. Be normal. Be yourself. Just live right and say, I'm a Christian on the way to heaven. And be normal and don't try to be otherworldly. Just you can praise the Lord and be rejoicing in your salvation and still have some good sense and be normal, I believe. So just, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. Just live. Now, I want to have a testimony. Certainly, I want to watch my testimony. I'm not saying that. But folks, you don't have to go around putting on what I'm saying. You don't have to be a hypocrite and always trying to put up a front and a sham. Just get saved and believe the book and rejoice in the Lord and praise the Lord. And you don't have to be a sham to put on. Just be if you've got the goods, see, you don't have to put on, do you? Isn't that right? It ain't right. If you're ready to say, knowing your way to heaven, you don't have to confess. You don't have to, listen, you don't have to please anybody but Jesus. You know that. So, faith unfeigned. Then let me give you one or two more things here. You know, I just like to take God's word and go right down verse by verse, phrase by phrase like this. This is a great book right here. And then just let me give you in verses 6 and 7, we'll be through for tonight, Paul's description of false teachers. There's three characteristics of false teachers in these two verses. Firstly, in verse 6, notice their departure, from which some, having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling. As I said, hot air. Swerve means they've missed the mark. And then turned aside is a medical term, which means to turn or twist, like you twist an ankle. It hurts, doesn't it, to twist an ankle. And false teachers cause great pain when they lead people into scriptural error. And then in verse 7, we see the desire of false teachers, desiring to be teachers of the law. In other words, Paul said these law teachers that's defiling the true, pure gospel, trying to get you back under the law, he said they want to put on a show. They want you to think they're experts in the law. And they want the applause of men for them being a great teacher. They want recognition. They want everybody to think they're somebody. Folks, don't follow these smooth-talking birds that don't come clean on sound doctrine. You know one way I can tell a liberal or new evangelical? They beat around 10,000 bushes. You know what God's man does? He saddles up, brother, and rides off in a straight direction. And these liberals, these political liberals do the same thing. These political liberals, you don't listen, they're going to multiply words and you'll never know where they stand. But if you notice the conservative say, I'm against this and I'm for that religiously and politically. I don't want to get on politics, but that's true. You say, preacher, I believe a person ought to stay out of politics. You ought to stay out of it then if you believe that. Amen there. Let me get back. Where was I now? Well, I'm talking about, but these liberals and these new evangelicals, they get on the radio and television and saddle up and ride off in 50 different directions same time. Do you know that? What do God's men do? God's men says, right here is what God says in His Word. They give you the clear, don't let anybody rob you of the simplicity which there is in Christ Jesus. These people who are false doctrine, these new evangelicals, these fellows that won't shoot straight with you, they're not in it for your good, but they're out to feather their nest. Then another thing about these false teachers, we see in verse 7, is their darkness, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They're out in left field. They don't know what they're talking about. They're blind leaders of the blind. Most of all, they're in spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. And make sure that when you support a preacher, that he is preaching the simple truths of God's Word, folk, and not exalting self, not exalting the church, not exalting the denomination or the organization, but exalting Christ and His Word. Make sure before you support anything, it's exalting Jesus and His Word. Paul's over in 3:16 here says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in glory. That's sound doctrine, and that's the only thing will save your never dying soul and get you safely from earth to glory. So let's teach sound doctrine. Let's believe sound doctrine. It'll save your soul and build you up in the faith. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart about something tonight. Maybe there's some spiritual decision you need to make. Maybe you hear it, and this morning, maybe as I spoke on how I know I'm saved, you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved tonight. I can't say that I know that I'm saved. I can't say that if I were to die now and go to heaven, preacher, I'd like to know. Maybe you have been saved, and you say, preacher, I'm not in the will of God. I'm not enjoying the blessing of God. Or maybe the Lord's spoken to you about something else. Maybe you have a burden. These altars are always open when you have a burden you want to come pray about. Maybe there's some need you have tonight. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. The Lord can meet that need. If you need to be saved, He'll save you. If you need to rededicate your life, He'll receive you back. If you need to need some help from the Lord, just cast your burden on the Lord and He'll sustain you. Whatever the need is, if the heads bow and eyes closed, Brother Gary, let's sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And if the Lord's speaking to your heart, with heads bowed and eyes closed as we sing, won't you just get up from where you're seated and come down to this altar. If you want to just pray, or if you want somebody to pray with you, we'll help you. Come on. Let the Lord have His way in your life tonight as we sing. Come on. All to Jesus.
All to Jesus I surrender.
The Lord's speaking to your heart.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Just need to pray about some
burden.
Maybe you face a crisis in your life and you need desperately God's help. You ought to come get on the altar and turn it over to the Lord.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus.
Come on, let the Lord have His way. Never go wrong by just letting Jesus have His way. Going God's way. Going God's way is the best way to go. I'll guarantee if you're not going God's way, there's going to be trouble out there ahead soon. The way of a transgressor's heart, God's word says. Trouble is ahead. If you're not going God's way, number is that, Brother Gary?
310.
Let's stand and sing another verse. 310. What verse? Verse number one. Come on. As we sing, we'll wait just a few moments. We'll be through. Come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
play through softly again.